Angela Whitrock. She is with M Live, and every Monday night she sits just a couple seats down from me in the front row in the city council chambers during the council meetings. Good morning, Angela. How are you?
I'm excellent, Rich. How are you?
Doing very well. Thanks so much for coming on to the program. Just wanted to get your take on the mayor's veto yesterday. Really not a big surprise here, was it?
No, the mayor is a man of his word, and he said, I will veto this budget if you leave in this increase for the Board of Water and Light that I said isn't going to happen. They left it in. He vetoed it.
Yeah, and you're right, the mayor did mention this Monday night during the mayoral remarks, and what I found priceless Monday night when he was giving his little speech was just some of the facial expressions from the council members. I mean, did you get as big a kick out of that as I did?
You know, yes, I did. As you know, council meetings can be either painful or hilarious, and often both. I think Monday night was a great example of that. I mean, just the look of sheer disbelief on the face of Jody Washington.
Mm-hmm.
And then the sort of, Derek Quinn looked almost like he had heard it 16 times and was mentally reading the paper or something. It was really, as you said, quite priceless.
Yeah, we had Jody on this program earlier this week, and she put into words exactly what she was thinking. It definitely was not pretty, that's for sure. Now, one of the big issues in regard to the budget discussions, at least as far as this week goes, has been this return on equity from the Board of Water and Light. The mayor wanted 5%, the council wanted 5.5%. Eventually, the BWL board approved the mayor's proposed 5%. Is either one better than the other in your mind between the 5% and the 5.5%?
Well, I think, when you're looking at a city that's constantly scrapping for revenue, and when the mayor's staff has said that over the next 3 years we're constantly going to face a deficit, looking for ways to increase revenue to mitigate that deficit before it happens are important. And he recognized that. That's why he bumped up the BWL payments from 4% to 5%. Now, adding an extra $1.5 million a year doesn't seem on its face like it will break the back of the Board of Water and Light. It will impact ratepayers just as the 1% increase the mayor recommended will. It's pretty well known that generally utilities pass on costs to ratepayers. That's the way that utilities work.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's important that the council finds a way to replace that revenue and, keeps pushing their agenda. It's important to them anyway. That's what they've said. They want to continue the fight. And the mayor, obviously, it's important that he is able to put his foot down and say, this is what I said, and this is how it's going to happen.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting, this back and forth here between the mayor and the city council, especially when it comes to sacrificing, if you will, because you've got the mayor saying that the council is treating the Board of Water and Light like a, quote, personal piggy bank. And then you got the council saying that the administration is asking way too much from the unions. In fact, at Monday night's meeting, a lady from the Teamsters Union came out and said that the Teamsters is not a, quote, cash cow. So what is your take on that? Are there any organizations or groups or whatnot that maybe have not been sacrificing enough?
Well, I think it would be hard to say that any of the employee unions have not sacrificed enough. During the council meeting on Thursday morning of last week, every employee union came before the council and gave a list of the concessions they've made, including, I think, the police officers union said that they were now vesting for health care at 25 years instead of 10, which meant that to retire with health care as a police officer. I think it was the police, it could have been the firefighters. You had to work for 25 years first, which is just unreal. We're in a budget crunch in Lansing. It happens every year, and everybody has to give. And it's hard not to be sympathetic to the employee unions who say, we are blood dry. We give every year. Even when they don't renegotiate their contracts, they change the way they operate to save the city money. On the other hand, it's also hard not to be sympathetic to the Board of Water and Light. It's pretty difficult to suddenly build into your budget a $3 million increase over the next 5 years. To make that $4.5 million over the next 5 years would be even more difficult. I guess what we're seeing here is just the, an early preview of what a lot of other communities are going to face as these budget troubles of the past 10 years really come home to roost.
And getting back to this BWL issue, if you will, again, you know, the council approved a particular budget, and then the BWL goes with the mayor's proposed 5%, then the council's budget is vetoed by the mayor. One would think that the council does not have any power in regards to the BWL's approval of its return on equity. But is that true? Does the council have any power at all?
Well, it appears that they do have something left. I've got a couple of documents that show a few times in the past where the council has had to approve these return on equity payment increases or decreases or whatever it was at the time, once in the 90s, and then during the last time that the council and the board renegotiated this, which was in the early 2000s. So the council does have to approve it. Now, the sticking point for them, of course, they could reject the 5% and say, come back to us when you have 5.5. But if they do that, they jeopardize the entire $17 million pot of money that the city gets from the board. So, yes, the short answer is they do have power, but there's a pretty high risk of putting in motion some ugly, ugly consequences if it's not done right. And I think that's what the mayor is betting on, that the council doesn't want to risk that $17 million.
Now, coming up a little bit later on in the program, we are hoping to have Randy Hannon, who's a spokesman for the mayor, on this program during the 8 o'clock hour to talk more about this budget veto. Angela, before we let you go, any other stories, any big projects that you're working on that we may hear about down the road?
Well, yeah, earlier this week, the mayor, during Monday night's meeting, also blasted the council and said, how dare you cut these vital programs from my office budget. Those programs were the Office of Community and Faith-Based Initiatives, which was paid for with taxpayer funds through the mayor's office, and the other was the Lansing Regional Sister Cities Commission. I've been trying to get the mayor through his spokesperson to, you know, explain what's so vital about these programs that he was insulted that the council would cut. Hadn't had any luck at all. So what I'm looking into now is what these programs actually do. You know, I want to be able to shine a light for Lansing taxpayers and show them what their money pays for, including in these little-known programs like the Office of Community and Faith-Based Initiatives.
We've been speaking with Angela Whitrock from MLive here on the Tony Conley Morning Show. Angela, we appreciate your time this morning. Thanks so much for joining us, and have a great holiday weekend.
Great. You too, Rich. Thanks.